At first, when the railroad was being built, the workers discovered the springs. And some of them had been sick, and after they had camped around there for a few weeks and had been drinking the water, they started getting well. So they attributed that to the springs. And then people heard about it from downtown Atlanta and started going out there. It's like something to do on a Sunday, and they would picnic. And then about that time, the mill-drawn trolley started getting popular, and it became, the Pont Springs became kind of a draw at the end of the line.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that, of course, there's really no trace of the springs nowadays, but there was an amusement park there at one point, wasn't there?
Yes, it really became popular around the beginning of the 20th century, but it didn't last long. Once cars became involved, once the automobile was invented and in wide use, it really, people didn't go that much.
Well, motorists who drive down Ponce nowadays wouldn't really consider that to be a wide street. But I read in your book that Ponce de Leon Avenue was, if not the widest, was among one of the more wider streets in Atlanta back in the 19th century?
Yes, it was considered to be very wide at the time. For a long time, nothing went down streets but horses. So a lot of them weren't even paved, of course, for a long time. And that one started out very wide because the trolley tracks went down the middle of the road, and they were 30 feet wide. And so on either side of that, a road was made. So it ended up being 90 feet wide.
So by the end of the 19th century, you've got the springs are very popular. People are going out and taking the waters and relaxing and enjoying the amusement park and things of that sort. It also becomes a destination for people who have money to live. And you've got a great chapter in your book that says, it's the best street and everybody knows it. So paint a picture for me of what kind of buildings were on Ponce, say, in the early 20th century, late 19th century.
If you think about Ivy Hall, the old Peter's House, the mansion restaurant that is now owned by SCAD. If you could imagine the street lined with houses like that, that was what Ponce was like back then.
And Peachtree was that way also. I mean, from downtown, what is now the heart of downtown, heading north, there were a lot of Victorian mansions on Peachtree heading up toward, I guess, what would be now Midtown in the late 19th century. But Ponce de Leon Avenue then, at the early 20th century, was it mostly wooded then before people started buying up lots and building mansions?
It was absolutely wild at the early part of the 19th century. And it wasn't until even the early part of the 20th century that it wasn't woods anymore. In fact, Walter McElreath, who was one of the founders, the main founder of the Atlanta History Center, talks in his autobiography about his house was kind of near Bonaventure, and he could look towards Decatur and see nothing but woods.
Early 20th century, the character of the street tends to change a bit. I know a bit about Atlanta history. I know the Sears Building was opened in 1926, I think. Ford built a factory there in the early 20th century right next to it, which is now condos or lofts. So if you've got a lot of mansions being built in the early 20th century, and almost in my mind, using present-day zoning applications, it doesn't seem like a mansion owner would want a factory or a giant retail store being built a couple blocks away. So what was the catalyst for change there?
There were several things. One, we kind of discovered the whole idea of apartments. People didn't really live in apartments before the early 20th century. It wasn't an idea that people really did in the South. And so we discovered that. And also the automobile allowed people to move further out. Ponce in 1910 had one apartment building, and in 1925 it had 36. So that should give you an idea of how people just loved the idea of being able to live in the city and live in an apartment.
Now, were these well-to-do people? I mean, were these apartments, we think of apartments now as, in some cases, a stepping stone before you buy your own house. Was it more upscale, or was it for the working class, so to speak?
It was definitely upscale apartments. These would be the people who were maybe the children of the people who had lived in mansions. A lot of the apartment buildings on Ponce were designed by very famous and esteemed architects. It was still a prestigious place to live at that time.
So what was the next turning point for Ponce de Leon Avenue, you know, after the early 20th century? Was it the 60s and 70s in that the character of the street changed and became more bohemian, if you will? I think the so-called hippie district, the Strip, what they called on Peachtree and Midtown in the late 1960s and 70s, sort of faded away in the early 70s, and a lot of the people who lived there sort of dispersed. I'm wondering if a lot of the people who lived in the hippie district on Peachtree sort of migrated over to what is now Ponce Highlands, because the character of the street really did change, didn't it? Or had that started earlier?
It had started, but the Crackers left Ponce in 1965, and I think that had a lot to do with it, because before then, that was Atlanta's baseball. That's where thousands of people came every week, and after 1965, it was just no one came.
And for those who are not familiar with where the Crackers ballpark was, it's across from what used to be City Hall East, which is now Ponce Market, which originally was the Sears building.
Right.
So what do you predict, as the street continues to evolve, will be the next great turning point? Do you think it'll be the completion of the Beltline?
The Beltline and Ponce City Market, which is the old Sears building, City Hall East building. I do think those two things. The Beltline is going to change Atlanta so much. And that, and it crosses at Ponce, and combined with Ponce City Market, which is going to be known nationally. I really think the future of Ponce is so bright.
What historic structures on Ponce today do you feel are at most at risk for the wrecking ball that may need some aid and preservation?
The Claremont Hotel, definitely. It's empty, and as far as I know, there are no buyers as of yet, and the only occupant is the strip club in the basement. Definitely that. A lot of the churches have been saved, and I don't feel like they're in a lot of danger.
And today, if you look at Peachtree, the most famous street in Atlanta, and Ponce Leon Avenue, which is certainly, arguably, of an in-town street, you know, another major artery, what strikes me as different about those two streets, for the most part, is that there's a lot more people on the street on Ponce than there are on Peachtree. It almost seems like Ponce is more people-friendly than Peachtree. Is that a fair assessment, do you think?
Yeah, I think that probably is a fair assessment. And I don't know why that is. Ponce has definitely had an interesting history. And I think when I told people that I wanted to write this book, people expected me to be interviewing prostitutes or strippers at the Claremont. And they didn't really realize what a wonderful history Ponce de Leon has. I would say it echoes Atlanta's history and Peachtree Street's history.
One final question for you. Ponce de Leon, the Spanish explorer for which the street is indirectly named, at what point did Ponce de Leon become Ponce de Leon?
I do not know when it officially became pronounced that way. I suspect it was from the beginning, as this is the South. But it is funny to me how we do pronounce it in that certain way, Ponce de Leon. And it's funny, I've had to call 411 to get a phone number, and sometimes I'm embarrassed to say it that way. but yeah, we've called it that way, I think, from the beginning.
Sharon Foster Jones is the author of Atlanta's Ponce de Leon Avenue, A History. Ms. Jones, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.